Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillahi Rabbil alemin. Vessalatu vesselam ala seyyidil mürselin, seyyidina Muhammed. Ve ala alihi ve sahbihi ve sellim teslimen kethira. Rabbena lekel hamdu. Kema yenbagi li celali veçhik ve li azimi sultanik. Subhaneke la nuhsi thanaen aleyke ente kema ethneyte ala nefsik. Allahumma salli ve sellim ve barik ala seyyidina ve habibina Muhammedin ve ala alihi ve sahbihi ve sellim teslimen kethira. Selamu aleyküm ve rahmetullahi ve berekatuhu. So inshallah we'll continue. First though, there was a question someone asked about the source of the khutbah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So his khutbah, أيها الناس قد وليت عليكم ولست بخيركم إلى آخر كلامه رضي الله عنه is in two of the oldest sources of transmitted information. It's in the Sirah of Ibn Ishaq, also in Ibn Hisham's Tahdhib of Ibn Ishaq, and the Tabaqat of Ibn Sa'd under the biographical entry of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then later, from the later hadith scholars, it's in the kitab that's called Al-Mu'talif wa Mukhtalif fil Hadith of Imam Ad-Darqutni. And one who studies hadith knows that Imam Darqutni was especially stringent in his assessment of narrations. So those are three primary sources, two very early, the Sirah of Ibn Ishaq and the Tabaqat of Ibn Sa'd, and then a later source in the Kitab al-Mu'talif al-Mukhtalif of Imam al-Darqutni. So those are some of the sources, primary sources, from where this khutbah has been handed down to us. May Allah accept the effort of all the scholars and muhaddithin, mu'arikhin, mujtahideen, wa jumlat al-muslimin, wal-muslimat. I want to correct something. I mentioned Abu Bakr's mother, radiallahu anha, as Qutayla. Qutayla was his wife in Jahiliyyah, and the mother of Asma, his daughter, his eldest daughter, Aisha's sister. His mother was Salma bint Sakhr, radiallahu anha, wa anhum ajma'in. So next week, inshallah, we'll go through the wives and the children, so mention information. Who remembers his father's name from last week? Huh? Abu Quhafa. That's his kunya. What was his name? His kunya, Abu Quhafa. Sahih. So you have credit. Uthman. Tayyib. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was born, to just give a little more biographical information, in 563. Common era, 573, Afwan, common era, or 3 years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And interestingly, he died 3 years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they both died at the age of 63. Thank you. I was testing you. So they both died at the age of 63 years old. And they were very, 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 very close. Radiallahu anhu, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he starts the khutbah. We mentioned the entire one, khutbah last week. Now we'll just focus on the first sentence or so. So he says, radiallahu anhu, ayyuhan nas, qad wulitu alaykum wa lastu bi khayrikum. O people, I've been placed over you, while I'm not the best of you. So This was an indication of Abu Bakr's humility. So what is humility? Humility is defined as assuming a station lower than one could rightfully assume out of humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowledge of His names and attributes, and lowering a desire to be gentle and merciful to the believers. So that's very important. So lowering the wing of humility to the believers. Being merciful to the believers. Understanding and having a deeply internalized sense of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. So when one realizes the reality of Al-Jabbar, like the compeller, Al-Qahhar, the one who has the power to impose his will, Al-Muntaqim, the one who is the avenger, Al-Aziz, the mighty, Al-Azim, the great, Al-Mutakabbir, the incomparably elevated. So when one internalizes those meanings, it's hard for someone to elevate themselves and to raise themselves up. When you realize that, it's subhanallah. And so why do we mention that? Out of knowledge of Allah and knowledge of Allah's names and knowledge of Allah Ta'ala's attributes, internalized, and out of a sense and a desire to be merciful to the believers, because when one assumes a lower station because someone else forces them into that place, that's humiliation and not humility. You see the difference? Does that make sense? So someone's beating you down and insulting you, and then you, I'm nobody. That's humiliation. But when you understand Allah and you're close to Allah and you have so much love and respect for the believers, you don't want to impose yourself on them, that's humility. And so Abu Bakr had humility but was never humiliated. And so he consciously lowers himself. Ayyuhan nas, O people, qad wulitu alaykum, I've been placed over you. So again, that's from his understanding the reality of Allah. A lot of us, we would say, you know, or we would think, I'm over these people because I won the election. Because I was voted the most popular, or I passed the test. And I attended the supervisor's course, and I did this, and I did that. Therefore, I'm in this position. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he understands, I didn't, because of his knowledge of Allah. He understands, I didn't do anything. Allah did something with me. So I didn't do anything. Allah did something with me. Ayyuhan nas, qad wulitu alaykum. They say, al-binal al-majhul. The actor, the fa'il, isn't mentioned. Who is the fa'il? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in other words, Allah has placed me over you. وَلَسْتُ بِخَيْرِكُمْ. While I'm not the best of you. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we mentioned hadith last week where the Prophet ﷺ asked, من أصبح منكم اليوم صائماً قال أبو بكر أنا. Who woke up this morning fasting? Who fed a poor person? Who followed a funeral prayer? Who visited a sick person? And Abu Bakr, he said, I did. His humility. A narration that gives us an indication of Abu Bakr's humility related to the theme we're talking about, him humbling himself, is related that whenever he was praised, And a similar narration relate is mentioned sometimes for Imam Ali radiallahu anhu. قال اللهم اللهم أنت أعلم مني من نفسي. Oh Allah, you know me better than I know myself. So you know me better than I know myself. وأنا أعلم بنفسي منهم. And I know myself better than they know me. فاجعلني خيراً مما يظنون. So make me better than what they think of me. So make me better than what they think of me. واغفر لي لما لا يعلمون. And forgive me for those things they don't know about me. So he's thinking of these even very subtle things that with the more refined a person's heart is and the more developed and cultivated their soul is. And we as Muslims, we have a system of spiritual cultivation. And we've gotten away from it. And because we've gotten away from it, you see what's happening in our countries. People's nafs, their ego goes crazy. And they don't know how to balance the rulings of the Sharia. Because the ability to balance something requires a scale. Right? If you have just one plate, you can't balance. You need two, so there's a balance. And so the right now, people are just following this. They have a scale that's called Sharia, a scale of legislative rulings as the fuqaha have understood them. That's the scale. Haram, halal. It has to be balanced by haqiqa, or those things related to a person's, or to understanding the reality of Allah. And so ethics comes from that side. Spiritual refinement comes from that side. And when a person's refined spiritually, that provides the context for understanding the Sharia. Our teacher in Syria, Sheikh Mustafa al-Turkmani, rahimahullah, he would frequently say to us, he would frequently say, a bird needs three things to fly. So a scale needs two plates and it needs the stand in the middle that balances the two plates, three things. The bird needs three things to fly. It needs two wings and it needs a tail. If you clip the bird's tail, it can't fly. It can fly, but it can't guide itself. And so he said, the two wings, one wing is aqidah, is belief. The other wing is sharia, is law. And the tail is haqiqa, is spiritual refinement. And once you clip the tail off, there's no spiritual refinement. The bird has the two wings, but it can't guide itself, and it might do more damage than good. It might hurt himself. So he can't guide himself, boom, crashes into the wall, bam, crashes into the ground. There's no stability. And so now you see so many Muslims with no stability, literally all over the place. All over the place. And so that stability comes from a system of spiritual refinement. There are three major things mentioned in the hadith of Jibril. And then there's a secondary thing. The three major things. فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Tell me what a Muslim has to do. Sharia. فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ. أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ. فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ. Tell me what a Muslim has to believe. فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِحْسَانِ. Tell me the states that a Muslim has to assume in their heart and their soul. Because when he responded, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to Jibril, Islam, he missed this a series of things you have to do. فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وأن تؤمن أن تشهد أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا قال صدقت. That you bear witness that Allah, there is no God but Allah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, you establish regular prayer, you fast the month of Ramadan, or you pay the zakat, you fast the month of Ramadan, you go to the Hajj, you find the means to do so. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. فَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ. He listed things. And تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُوبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. That you believe in Allah and His angels and His scriptures and His messengers and the last day, and that you believe in the divine decree, the perceived good and the perceived evil that it might bring. Qala sadaqt, spoken truthfully. Fakhbirni anil ihsan, inform me about ihsan. So now he didn't give a list of things to do, nor a list of things to believe or conceptualize and internalize and understand. He described a state. And تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. That you worship Allah as if you see Him, and if you fail to see Him, be mindful that He observes you. That's a state of consciousness. And so Islam is things we have to do, is comprised of things we have to do, is comprised of things we have to believe in, and is comprised of states we have to assume. And those states are measured, the maqamat of the spiritual traveler. And as the traveler goes down that path, they elevate and refine their soul. Most people now, they're stuck at the level of nafsul bahimiyya shahwaniyya, wahiya and nafsul ammaratu bisu. The carnal, bestial nature that's described in the Quran, and nafsul ammaratum bisu, the nafs that commands that which is vile. Because the impulsive instincts of our carnal appetites are to be satiated any way they can be satiated, with no consideration for halal or haram. So it's a person who's begin to elevate spiritually that thinks about, okay, I have a sex drive. There's a carnal appetite. Oh, I have to get married. A person in the nafs, al-mar bisu, I have to find a girl. He's not thinking about marriage. He's thinking about a means to. And then when they totally are lost from even the vestiges of revelation, like, I have to find an animal. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I have to find someone the same gender. Because all they're thinking about is fulfilling this carnal drive. Food, the same thing. It's like a person who's refined spiritually, oh, well, I can't eat that. It's pork. I can't drink that. There's alcohol in it. I can't consume that. It's haram. The person who's divorced from that, pork, alcohol, it doesn't matter, because all they're concerned with is satiating their carnal appetite. And shaitan wants everyone to be stuck at that level. A person begins to elevate when they start to question. And that becomes a nafs al-shahwaniyya, bahimiyya, al-amaratu bisu'. When a person starts to question, a nafs al-lawwama, person starts coming, meets a Muslim, starts reading about Islam, eats his triple-decker Big Mac with the bacon slices, then starts to think, man, you know, my Muslim friend said I shouldn't eat that. So this internal debate starts. But I really like the Big Mac with the pork on, with the bacon crispy Big Mac. Yeah, but they say God doesn't like it. Well, you don't even sure if you believe in God yet. Yeah, but you know that this isn't all here by accident. It didn't design itself. Yeah, that's right, but you didn't join up yet. So you can still eat. So, lowama. This is internal battle. And as the person wages it, then they start to get to a higher level where those doubts and that back and forth starts to dissipate. And then they're at the level of nafsul mulhama. Now it can be inspired to good or inspired to evil, but it's more inspired to good. فَالْأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةُ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي النَّفْسُ الْأَمَّارَةُ بِالسُّوءِ لَا أُقْسِمُ بِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ Self-rebuking, so that was wrong. Some of you are old enough to remember the cartoon, the two crows, Heckle and Jekyll. Oh, you know that was not the right thing to do, but it felt good, so I did it anyway. But you're wrong. You actually hurt someone with your vile actions. Well, my vile actions is not my fault. They shouldn't have been there to get in the way. They wouldn't have got hurt. What a terrible attitude to have. And then al-mulhama. So it becomes more amenable to be inspired towards good until it breaks through. And then النفس المطمئنة, then it's contented, the contented soul. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ And now it's prepared to meet its Lord. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ وَلَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا Allah is good and pure and only accepts good and pure. So النفس Bahimiya shahwaniya, that's not ready to meet Allah. And Allah tayyiba, wala yaqabalu illa tayyiban. Allah is good and pure and only accepts good and pure. Now he's contented. Ya ayyuhan nafsul mutma'inna. Now he's prepared to meet Allah. Irji'i ila rabbiki. Return to your Lord. Radiyatan mardiya. Fa'akhbirni an al-Iman. That's Iman, folks. MashaAllah. She's very intelligent too. But I'm not saying anything else. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan an-nafs ar-radiya. Pleasing to Allah. Mardiya. And Allah pleased with it. And those are the people who are willing to defend Islam. Because they're pleased with Allah. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا And if they're pleased with Allah, they're pleased with Islam. وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا And if they're pleased with Islam, they're pleased with Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ وَبِسَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا And with the messenger Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ as my prophet and my messenger. They're pleased. Radiallahu, radiya, radiyatan, mardiya, and pleased with Allah, pleasing to Allah, and pleased with Allah. Those whom Allah loves, they love Allah. And so, why do we say these are the people who are prepared to defend the religion and to hold on to the religion, no matter what the world is doing? يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم يحبون أو you who believe us whoever of you turns back from supporting the religion Allah will bring another people whom he will love and they will love him and a sign of that love is that they're pleasing to Allah every lover is pleasing to their beloved and vice versa And Allah is pleased with them. Radiyatan mardiya. And then that's the nafsul kamila. The completed, perfected soul. These are the degrees of the nafs that ulama talked about. Now, no one talks about it. So, it's bid'ah. It's no good. And so now we're killing each other. We're over a chair. We're bombing innocent people with impunity. We're blowing up marketplaces, innocent men, women, and children. Allah al-Mustaan. Allah al-Mustaan. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's expressing humility. So that وَجَعَلْنِي خَيْرًا مِمَّا يَظُنُونَ وَغْفِرْ لِي لِمَا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَلَا تُأَخِذْنِي بِمَا اللَّهُمَّ سَوْرًا بِمَا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Don't take me to task for what they don't know about me. Don't take me to task for what they don't know about me. So this is how he's coming in to the Khilafah. So he's not coming in imposing himself on the people. So after the deliberations and discussions that the people had, the people settled on Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Despite that, he knows this is from Allah. This is from Allah. This isn't from me. And I have no pretenses about it. So this is a good segue into just talking about humility in general. He assumes a lower station. Why? Because he says, وَلَسْتُ بِخَيْرِكُمْ. But in reality, Abu Bakr arguably is the best of them. And just some of the delil from the Quran, when Allah says, وَسَيُجَنِّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. فَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ لِيَتَزَكَّى. Most of يَتَزَكَّى, most of the Mufassirun say this was revealed for Abu Bakr. So he's the most righteous. سَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى. So the most righteous will not go into that fire. Another one where Allah Ta'ala mentions, so in the Quran Allah Ta'ala mentions and Hadith Qudsi. And there's some the Shia say is Imam Ali. But Imam Fakhruddin Razi has responded to that. But it's no use to argue. You say arguably Abu Bakr is the best. So if you're Shia, you can relax. You can argue for Ali. It's easy. We don't need to buck heads. But arguably the best. Tayyip. وَلَوْ أَنَّ حَدِيثْ قُدْسِي وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ كَانُوا عَلَىٰ أَتْقَى قَلْبِ رَجْلٍ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْكُمْ مَا زَادَ ذَلِكَ فِي مُلْكِ شَيْئًا. Again they say, this is Abu Bakr. مِنْكُمْ. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, some says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, some say no, amongst the people of the Ummah, excluding the Prophets and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلَوْ كَانَ وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ كَانُوا عَلَىٰ أَتْقَى قَلْبِ رَجَلٍ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْكُمْ مَا زَادَ ذَلِكَ فِي مُلْكِ شَيْئًا. If the first of you, the last of you, the human of you, the jinn of you, was righteous as the most righteous, the heart of the most righteous person amongst you, that would not increase my dominion in any way. فَقَالْ هَذَا أَتْقَى رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ مِنْكُمْ هُوَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ السِّدِّيقِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. The Prophet ﷺ, when he was sick, he chose Abu Bakr. He insisted that Abu Bakr, three times he ordered the people to pray behind Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We know he was the best friend of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the Prophet's companion in Hijrah radiallahu anhu. So many virtues. We mentioned last week, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا لَتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. If I were to take and most intimate friend, so he was Siddiq and he was Sadiq Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the lifelong friend of the Prophet Sadiquhu, but his Khalil was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the deepest depths of his heart, that space was reserved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for anyone else, as a manifestation of his having perfected and to the ultimate degree tawheed. And so لو كنت متخذا خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا. So he didn't say this about anyone else, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many, many, many proofs of the virtue of Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr, he knew all of this. And during the confusion after the Prophet's death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his virtue was established. Umar was losing his mind, Abu Bakr was cool. We mentioned last week, Hurub al-Ridda. People were confused. Abu Bakr was decisive, radiallahu anhu. So, he knew that. Despite that, قَدْ وُلِّيتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Emphatically, قَدْ وُلِّيتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَسْتُ بِخَيْرِكُمْ. I'm not the best of you. And his humility, radiallahu anhu, it diffuses a lot of the tension and the confusion at that moment. If he was imposing himself and the people chose me, and no, he came in very humbly, so everyone, a humble person diffuses and presents a gentle spirit that translates into very soothing energy. An arrogant person, like when someone like, I might as well say it, like a Donald Trump walks into a room, the energy immediately becomes very negative. Before even the mouth is open, because of just the demeanor. And then when the mouth is open and the arrogance manifests itself, it becomes very ugly. Whereas a humble person exudes a different type of energy. And that energy... Well, I'll save this a little later. Since I brought it up. That soothing energy, and this is why Allah Ta'ala mentions, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّنْ مَال. When I say this, someone says, no, it should be the other way around. No. مِن is زَائِدَ here. Al-Asl, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ فَاعِلْ لِنَقَصَتْ مَالًا. But من زائدة لتأكيد الخبر. من نقصت صدقة من مال. Charity will never decrease your wealth. وما زاد الله عبدا بعفو إلا عزة. And Allah will not increase a servant who has the ability to pardon others except in authority and dignity and nobility and might. So people think I'm constantly forgiving people. They think I'm a pushover. They'll walk all over me. See, that's thinking at the level of al-alim al-shahada, from the way things appear in this world. But when a person understands the realities of al-alim al-ghayb, so al-mulk, this alim al-shahada, all of these tangible physical things. So when I act this way, people will act that way. But when a person understands Alimul Malakut, Alimul Ghaib, that there are unseen forces at work in our world. I'm saying this on purpose. Some people might like think I'm losing my mind. Because we're so inundated by the material, we need to be reminded. Especially as Muslims, we become materialistic Muslims who live with no consciousness that there's more to life and reality than this. That's what I'm saying. But so from those and the forces at work in that realm, a person gains authority, but from Allah through their pardoning. They're not seen as a pushover. Why? Because Allah gives them izzah. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So Allah has authority and might, as does the messenger, as do the believers. It's the hypocrites that don't realize it. And so there's a time for izz. And after we finish this hadith, then he says, I'll tell you, I mentioned a very, very powerful statement of Abdullah bin al-Mubarak, rahimahullah. In any case, وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. And no one humbles themselves for the sake of Allah. So we mentioned that at the outset, some people might humble themselves for the sake of the people. That's humiliation. But no one humbles themselves for the sake of Allah. That's is. Except Allah elevates them. إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. Except that Allah elevates them. And so as Muslims, we can't be walking around here humiliated.
People don't like us anymore. They're talking about us. Do you hear what Trump said last night? He wants us all to leave.
I ain't going nowhere. You can pack up and leave. Bismillah ar-Rahim. They wouldn't even have these guys back in Europe. Like, we don't want you. Send them to Antarctic. The penguins don't even want them. The penguins say, yeah, come down like around July 1st. That's the middle of the winter in Antarctic. It's like 50 below zero. Yeah, come down. You freeze. We'll make sure you stay frozen. Anyway, in all seriousness. So, don't look at the physical, superficial manifestations of things. Don't look at the normal causal relationships. Look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created those relationships and sustains them and can suspend them anytime He wants. Ya naru kuni barda wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Fire be cool, don't burn. Allah suspended, fire didn't burn, and Ibrahim was preserved. It's Allah, inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. Allah created that relationship. Allah sustains that relationship. Allah can suspend that relationship. And so our humility should be birthed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's in touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has a refined spirit. He's attained to the nafsul kamila. And so, that just flows from him. It flows from him. Abdullah bin al-Mubarak. So, just to emphasize, humility is not humiliation. Abdullah bin al-Mubarak, he said, At-tawadu'u, at-takabbur ala al-mutakabbirin. Subhanallah. He said, humility is to arrogate yourself over the arrogant. And we'll explain how that's humility. Because the arrogant person is the one that tries to elevate themselves over Allah. And so, by rejecting that and placing ourselves above them, we're humbling ourselves to Allah, the exact opposite of what they're doing. At-tawadu'u, at-takabburu ala al-mutakabbirin. And this is very important in our day and time, because shaitan is trying to run the show. And what was one of his defining characteristics? Arrogance. وَذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. So when Allah commanded the angels to prostrate themselves to Adam, they did so. And it says that the jinn, one opinion, the jinn are a tribe from amongst the malaika, and shaitan was from this tribe, كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِ. Or the jinn are a separate creature created from fire and the angels from light, and shaitan was in their midst, and the order applied to them generally. And in any case, he refused. Aba, he refused. Wastakbara, and he arrogated himself. Wa kana min al-kafirin. So arrogating ourselves above the likes of shaitan is humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And allowing ourselves to be led by shaitan and his dupes, and to compromise our religion for shaitan and his dupes, is to arrogate ourselves above Allah by following shaitan in his arrogant rebellion against Allah. So hence is saying Abdullah bin al-Mubarak, at-tawadu'u, at-takabburu ala al-mutakabbirin. La ilaha illallah. It's a beautiful saying. And in any case, so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he comes in with an air of humility, and that helps to bring a soothing energy. So I didn't mention that point. The humble person says is in touch with Allah. And so Allah elevates their humility. That humility is birthed by their being in touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because a quality of humility is stillness. Or a humble person is still. And a quality of humility is gentleness. A humble person is gentle. And Allah is unchanging, stillness. And Allah is al-latif, the gentle. And so as a person gets in touch with Allah, a person gets in touch with those qualities. People are torn and buffeted because their hearts are attached to that which is torn in the world. People are up and down because their hearts are attached to that which is up and down in the world. And when a person is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their heart is attached to Allah, there's no more up and down. There's no more buffeting waves. There's only tranquility. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّوا قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Those who believe and their hearts find tranquility in the remembrance of Allah, verily the remembrance of Allah brings tranquility, stillness, peace to the hearts. And so Abu Bakr brings this to the Khilafah. And it's expressed in this opening sentence. Now the ulama, they say there are 3 degrees of humility. So the darajat at-tawada, there are degrees. And just our time is short. The first is at-tawadu lid-deen. So humbling oneself before the religion. What does this mean? It means that one doesn't oppose revelation with one's intellect. In other words, when I think this doesn't make sense, I don't reject it because I think it doesn't make sense. If it's sound, if it's acceptable, it's qat'iyatu dilala wa qat'iyatu thubut, I know this came from the Messenger of Allah, it's hadith mutawatir, I know that this is mutawatir because it's in the Quran and its meaning is clear, not ambiguous. So qat'iyatu dilala, its indicated meaning is clear. Wa qat'iyatu thubut, and it's established to have come from the Messenger of Allah, or it's established as being in the Quran, then I put my intellect on the back burner. Because intellect is temporal. It changes with circumstances. What we say makes total sense today, people 100 years ago say it makes no sense. Right? Today, people in our society, they say it makes sense. We mentioned this last week. I'm not trying to pick on anyone. I'm just trying to make a point. It makes sense for a guy that's looks like he should play on the 49ers to go into the women's bathroom because he thinks he's a woman. So it makes sense for him to go to the woman's bathroom. And if you don't agree with that, it's just because you're a narrow-minded, bigoted, anti-LGBT person. 100 years ago, people would say that this nonsense. You would have got beat up and ridiculed and maybe even tarred and feathered if you say that this guy has a right to go in the woman's bathroom. Now, I'm not trying to pick on anyone. I'm just making a point. Am I right or wrong? 100 years ago, if you said this guy has a right, an inherent right to go in the women's bathroom, people would beat you up, they tar and feather you, they ridicule you, they might even put you in jail. Intellect, reason, sensibility, sensitivity changes. Revelation is timeless. And so we don't give preference to that which is amenable to change to that which is permanent. So that's called a tawadru lid-deen. We humble our reason before revelation. The second, then there's some details, but Allahumma salli ala Rasulillah, is we accept, we're pleased with what the truth, we're pleased to follow the truth. For we're pleased to follow the truth. So, huwa yarda bima yarda bihi al-haq. We're pleased with what the truth describes as being pleasing. So we accept truth from any source, be it a friend or an enemy. And in the face of the truth, again, we humble our opinion. I think this or that. Well, this verse has been universally accepted as meaning something opposite of what you think. Khalas. I'm pleased, so it's a degree above. It's one thing to humble ourselves before the truth, then it's another thing to be pleased with the truth. And so we humble ourselves before the truth. That's a level of humility. And then we're pleased with submitting to the truth, a higher level of humility. And so we're conditioned to put what we want on the back burner. And so this makes us less amenable to getting into arguments and disputing over our opinion. And a true Imam Shafi, who was a wali, Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, is reported to have said, إِلَّمْ تَكُنْ الْفُقَهَاءُ أَوْلِيَاءَ لِلَّهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ وَلِي. If these jurists who spent their lives laying the foundation for our ability to fruitfully practice this religion in the light of prophetic guidance, if they are not the befriended and the beloved of Allah, then no one is. So Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, he would say, when I discuss an issue with an interlocutor, I would love the truth to be manifested on their tongue. I would love the truth to be manifested on their tongue. In other words, it's not about my opinion. It's not about me being the person that arrives at the truth. It's about the truth. And to emphasize that it's not about me, I would prefer the truth be manifested on the tongue of my opponents. He prayed that, O Allah, I pray that this knowledge that I'm bringing will be established in the earth and none of it will be attributed to me. Now, when you study the Shafi'i madhab, you rarely hear anything about Imam Shafi'i. Like, his book, Al-Um, is there. We hear about Imam Nawawi, Imam Rafi'i, Ibn Hajar, Haytami, Imam Ramli. We rarely hear about Imam Ghazali, Al-Wajiz, big faqih. Imam Baghawi, Imam Bayhaqi, who collected all of the narrations from Imam Shafi'i in every field, Imam Bayhaqi. But you rarely hear anything attributed to Imam Shafi, because it was not about him. It was about the truth. Allahumma salli Rasulillah. Trying to think of the third one. It escapes me right now. Inshallah, next week. So in any case, these are some aspects of humility that we should try to internalize and make a part of who we are and make a part of how we engage the religion. And especially now when the spirit of the time, the zeitgeist, that's a fancy way of saying the spirit of the times, is pushing us towards arrogance, is pushing us towards self-centeredness, is pushing us towards, is pushing us away from a deep relationship with Allah Ta'ala. So the foundation to push back is through humility. As we mentioned, why? وَمَا تَوَادَعَ أَحَدٍ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. No one humbles themselves for the sake of Allah except that Allah elevates them. We need the strength of Allah. It's bigger than us. The forces arrayed against the Muslims in these days and time, they're bigger than us. If we just relied on our resources, we're done. Brothers and sisters, we're done. But if we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're in good shape. We're in good shape. Because Allah has the power. So we'll stop here. Any questions or comments before we adjourn? Anything? Questions? Comments? Clarification? Justification? Yes. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. I'm doing well. I'm doing so well. I got an upgrade. They gave me an S and now I'm doing swell. Billah. Nah. Bismillah. Constantly remind yourself, we should constantly remind ourselves that anything that I have that I perceive to be an advantage vis-a-vis other people, it's all from Allah. I had nothing to do with it. Because, well, I went to school and I got 3 degrees. How many people went to school and got 3 degrees and they don't have a job? Well, I worked hard, I stayed up at night studying for the MCAT or whatever. How many people did that and they didn't pass the test? And they were more intelligent, their IQ score was higher. You know, I worked hard and saved my money. How many people work hard and save their money and every time they start to get it, car breaks down, got to get a new transmission, there goes the money. The landlord wants the house back. His daughter's getting married. They're moving in. Now I have to move, and the rents are higher, and there goes the money. So people work hard. People try to save, and they get nowhere. And other people do the same things, and they get somewhere. What's the difference? This one had tawfiq from Allah for wisdom that Allah knows best. This one didn't have tawfiq. So just remind ourselves, anything that I have that I think gives me an advantage or the ability to just think I'm above someone else, it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so at the outset we mentioned humility for Allah, and then that humbles a person. And then just generally being serious about our religion, because the more serious we are about our religion, the stronger our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The stronger our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more humble we become. Because we realize that Allah is real. And we actualize that. And when we actualize that, we realize the awesomeness, and we understand kibriya'ullah, azamatillah, all of these things, al-izzatullah, the greatness of Allah and the awesomeness of Allah, those things become actualized with us and we start to humble ourselves. You think you're big until you stand next to a mountain. And so once you realize Allah, it's as if you think you're big until it's as if you're standing before Allah. Then you really, man, okay, I need to rethink this. Yes, sir. He's doing it because he is carrying the prophetic light forward in the world. And so he, because his title, Khalifatu Rasulillah. After, so he knows, Abu Bakr knows, I'm carrying the prophetic light into the world in the absence of the messenger. So when Umar's turn came, Umar rejected Khalifa. Because Khalifa means the successor. He's Abu Bakr. Huwa kana Khalifata Rasulillah. Ana Amirul Mu'mineen. So I'm not the successor of the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm the commander of the faithful. And so, but people use the title Khalifa. Abu Bakr realized, I am the Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah. And so I have a responsibility not just to the people, I have a direct responsibility to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he gave the khutbah. That's why when you stand on the minbar, this is the maqam-i Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And people should be prepared to assume that station. It's not a joke. Not a joke. And so when people get on the minbar and they're saying all kinds of crazy stuff and experimenting with their latest thought, or you know, they're articulating the nightmare they had last night on the khutbah, people diving out the window of the masjid, get out of here. And the maqam Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu musta'an. So we'll stop here, inshallah. You have a question pops up, mention it. Yes, sir.
Assalamu
alaikum. Wa alaikum salam.
When we discussed, or when you discussed earlier the three things necessary for a bird to fly, and you made the analogy to the scale, you discussed Sharia with the definition of law. Is it perhaps better for us maybe to look at it as less static, in a sense of humility, when we examine Sharia and when we aim ourselves toward the goal?
Right.
Is it perhaps something that we should view as evolving in terms of its application and less static as this is law?
Well,
more of a path towards a destination.
Right. See, this is what you're describing is the nominalist rejection of an essentialist worldview. In other words, that there aren't transcending truths and realities out there that we discover, but everything is a particular ongoing manifestation based on the understanding or the product of our thought and our mind. So Sharia is an unchanging reality that is discovered in part through fit. And that's why al-faqih yusib wa yuqtib. So the faqih might get it right, he might err it, but he gets credit for his ijtihad. And so our ongoing attempts to understand and discover this timeless reality that's known to Allah, Sharia, is called fiqh. So that's an ongoing endeavor. Can we pray in airplanes? That takes a faqih to examine the evidence and try to get it right. And the faqih might get it right.
Yes, we can. Another faqih
or might get it wrong. No, because a condition of prayer is facing the Qibla. You're in the plane, the Qibla is constantly changing. And so this basic condition of prayer isn't met. So we pray to respect the time, but repeat the prayer when you land. That's fiqh. But there's a ruling that's known to Allah, that's Sharia. And so it's dynamic in the sense we strive, but we don't reject that timeless element. And so that's the essential thing, that there is timeless, transcendent reality that human minds try to discover. Does that make sense? Inshallah. And I wouldn't call it static in the sense that's a human description of things we understand in our world. I would say it's timeless and transcending. And then there's this dynamic effort. And a problem now is that people stop making an effort to understand it. And or, as we said, they try to understand it divorced from the spiritual, overall spiritual context that gives it real meaning. And so it's just a law. And so you find these people, they just tatbiq al-sharia. And so it's implementing the law. Okay. Well, I punched a hole in a wall once, so I'm getting better. Anyway, so just implementing the law without any consideration of any higher principles. That might cause us, like Omar, we suspend this law because in this wider context, we understand the implementation might be more harmful than the suspension under these circumstances. So we don't say the law is devoid, we just say it's suspended because of these extenuating circumstances, which we're starving. These circumstances make this pork that was haram, you talked about it earlier, halal. Not halal, we're able to eat it. It's never halal. Then we suspended, we nullified the ruling. We don't nullify the ruling, we suspend it. It's forbidden nature to be eaten, is suspended because of the circumstances. And so we need this whole context. And the refinement of the hearts is an integral part of this process, because our understanding is rooted in our hearts, not in our minds. Our mind is a tool to understand. But that tool is in the hand of our hearts. And any tool that's not supported by a skilled hand is useless and or possibly destructive. And so this tool of the aql that's divorced from the heart can become intellect divorced from the heart can become very destructive. Wallahu a'lam wal musta'an. So we'll stop here. You have any further questions, write them down and we can start with those. There's still a little tea left. May Allah give everyone tawfiq. Subhanaka wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wal asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.